So it's, yeah, God knows how to direct our lives, amen? Hello everyone, we're actually busy with a sermon series in Secunda at the moment. We're taking a month or so and we're just talking through the fact that you are made by God in a certain way to serve His purposes. And yeah, we're talking through a lot of things, and I've been reserving this sermon for this day because I thought it will fit well to handle the gifts of the Son on this day when the whole world actually just stands still and talks about Jesus. Some knows what they're talking about, others not. For many people, it's about chocolates and stuff like that. I like chocolates. I don't have a problem with that. Also, when you said like it didn't end so well at the Sharks, I just want to say no one died because it didn't sound too good. But let me just pray. Listen, when I was in December, I was invited to preach at Shofar Hermanus, and they didn't laugh at one of my jokes the whole day. And I realized that I should be more focused on preaching the word and less on making jokes. So that's why I think, let me just pray before I go ahead. Father, I want to thank you that you really love this congregation. And I want to thank you that you really love every individual. And this morning, Jesus, we want to thank you that you did the greatest work of invitation on the cross, making a way for us to come near, to stand face to face with you, Lord. And for that, we worship you, our King. You fill us with joy. You fill us with hope. You fill us with peace. You take our terrible histories, Lord, and then you give us a hope for a future. You are our everything. And this morning, as we just focus on how you've blessed us and how you equipped us, Lord, we are so happy to know that you did not only die, not only were you a king who were merciful, you were also a king, Lord, who dispensed amazing gifts to us that we may be effective. And so thank you that you did not leave us orphans. Firstly, you did send the Holy Spirit, the one who walks with us. And then you've given us many gifts, Lord, so that we may honor you with our lives. And my prayer is that we will be excited, Lord, to just walk into what you have called us to be. Bless us this morning, Jesus. And we welcome you, Holy Spirit. You are here in this place. And even as we experienced in worship, just you helping us to please the Father, singing in us and through us, we just welcome you this morning. Amen. There's a lot of things that excites me when it comes to the gifts of the Son, and especially on a day like Easter. Not only is Jesus the greatest gift himself, he also gifts different gifts. I mean, that's kind of awesome to comprehend. Here's the thing about our faith. The greatest thing we can get is God. That's the thing. Now, I've been a pastor for a few years now, not a lot, 5 years, but most of the young people that comes to church because they lost a job. They come to church because they've lost a girlfriend or boyfriend. They come to church because their marriage is in trouble. And so mostly we come to God for the gifts that He can give us, a better marriage or a hope to get a job. I mean, we come to Him so that He might meet our needs, not knowing that what we're actually looking for is Him Himself. And once we understand that, once you get that, then your heart is actually the right place to start and engage with all the different gifts He gives, because you know He is the gift. All right, and you guys know that. I can see I've got a mature audience here this morning, so I'm not going to spend too much time doing an introduction. But we're talking on the gifts of the Son, which is also called the fivefold ministry. Who knows about that? Okay, where do we get those? Ephesians 4, right? That's where we're going this morning. We can go to the next slide, just to give you guys a bit of a big picture of the different gifts in the Bible. You can find them in these places. The gifts of the Father, Romans 12, deals a lot with how you are made as a human. And often you can see these gifts even before a person have met God. These are things like mercy, merciful people, giving, leaders, right? The amazing things about those gifts is it can only be redeemed and used to its proper purpose once you meet Christ. For example, if I just give you one example on the gifts of the Father. You know those merciful people in this world? You get them, whether they're saved or not. You get those type of people. The ladies or the young women I've seen in my experience that's been abused most by men is often those with the gifts of mercy. Because they've drawn, or they are drawn to all the wrong kinds of men because of that gift of mercy. And it's a gift that actually God gave them. A gift to see pain and respond to it. But it must be redeemed with godly wisdom. And so if you want to study through the gifts of the Father, you can do that for yourself. We actually preach through it if you want to go check it out. Then you get the gifts of the Spirit, which is not so much how you are made, but what God wants to do through you because it's needed in a specific situation. And so He wants to use you just to be a vessel. So the Holy Spirit comes, He does the work, and you just say, yes, Lord, do it. That's what's needed now. Whether you think you've got the gift of healing or not, if there's someone hurting, just pray. Maybe a miracle happens, right? And then we find ourselves where we'll be focused on this morning, which is the gifts of the Son. It's also called the fivefold ministry or the leadership gifts. Okay, are we all together? That's where we find ourselves this morning, in Ephesians 4. Great. Just want to read you a quote. It comes out of one of my study Bibles. Gifts are not toys to play with. They are tools to build with. And if they are used in love, they become weapons to fight with. All right? Now, the great thing about these gifts is if you give yourself to God, if you consecrate yourself to God, and we can pray a prayer at the end just to say, Lord, you can use me. It takes a lot of discipline and takes years to develop to the full capacity that God actually knows where you can get to, all right? But once you get to that place, these things become extremely powerful. But this is not something that lays around and one day, you know, you are walking profound in your gift. This comes with character building, years upon years, weeks upon weeks of faithfulness. And in time, God forms this character and this gift in you. It's just the first thing I want to say when it comes to these gifts. Let's quickly just read through it. I'm not going to be long this morning. I want to throw a few stuff at you, and then I want you to maybe digest it through the week. But Ephesians 1, let's just do the... Am I doing something wrong here? I've got a bit of feedback. Just tell me if I must stand somewhere else or whatever. Okay. Right, Ephesians 1. I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. Now, just see how Paul sets this up. He's working towards the gifts, but look where he starts. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bonds of peace. There is one body, there is one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, and one baptism. Look at all those ones. One God and Father of all, who is over all and through all in all. But grace was given to each of us according to the measure of Christ's gifts. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he He led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he also descended into the lower regions, the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. And he gave, and there's the gifts, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up of Christ, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. All right? That's 14 verses, quite a long piece of scripture reading. But just on the next slide, there's the gifts. Let's just start with the gifts. Just see it in front of you. These are leadership gifts, and the gift is the person that Christ promises to develop for the benefit of the church. And he says there's five types of these gifts or these persons that will end up in church to play crucial roles. And I do believe that even, I don't know where I fit in this picture. I've been a pastor for 5 years. I think I know more or less where I'm going. But what I believe is that God can reveal to you a desire or something in your heart that will take you on a journey of 20 years to get to a place where you fully stand in your place in God's church. These are the gifts that will take the longest to form of all the gifts. The one you're kind of born with, gifts of the Father, and they mature as you grow in Christ, but they're there. Holy Spirit, when he comes upon you, some of you, once you got filled with the Holy Spirit, you spoke in tongues immediately, those gifts just come. That's got nothing to do with your maturity, that's got to do with God's anointing. When it comes to these gifts, they will take the longest to form. So maybe this morning for some of you, it's the start of a 20, 30, 40 year commitment to grow a gift that God has placed in you. Amen? All right, but now here's the thing: setting the stage for the gifts. Going through the gifts, we're going to do it at the end very fast. It's 1 minute on each gift, explaining what it is. What's more important is the stage which Paul builds to put this gifts on. And I've got 6 points for us this morning. It's actually interesting if you go to the Romans 12 gifts and you check the verses before and after the gifts, and the same for the gifts of the Spirit, some of these elements you'll pick up there as well. He goes through a lot of effort before he gets to gifts to explain to us the heart on which this gift must grow. So let's just head into this. Number one, he says, walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called to. That's the first thing that you and I need to understand this morning, is you need to accept your calling. And you need to be grateful for it. And you know what? You need to be happy with it, even if it's something that you think is not great for you. You need to make a peace with it that God knows you better than what you know yourself. And so the first thing when it comes to your gifts is you need to say, Lord, I accept it. Even if I don't know how it's going to look around that bend, I just accept how you made me. And I say yes to what you want to do with me. That's the first part. That's that moment, go and speak. No, Lord, I can't speak. It's just that moment, you just say yes. Where you go, I will speak, all right? You know, your family is an amazing thing because a lot of things run through your blood. I don't know if you've realized, sometimes, not always the same, you get like this, the family of engineers. Who's got a family like that? Like Opa, Dad, yourself, anyone like that? Or a family of teachers? Or you get the gifts, or musical family. Everyone in the family can just play instrument. Any families like that? All right? And you fit in this family in one way or another. And then you've got this one thing. Like no one in your family has got that gift. It's just, you're the first one. You're the only one who feels about a certain thing the way you feel about it. And it's in your heart and you can cry about it. That's just God putting gifts in you. They didn't come through your family. You didn't learn it from someone else. They didn't come from Opa. It came directly from your Father in heaven. Because He made you the way He wanted to. And sometimes it's radically different. And for some of us, it's very hard growing up with these things. Because maybe culture has shaped a box or two as well. But here's the thing. You are purposely made. And so the first thing is you need to accept that. When it comes to these gifts as well, and that's why Paul is going through this. What this will do in your life, if you've accepted who you are, who He made you to be, it will eliminate criticism and competition out of your life. Those two things. And you can't serve God with one of those two, because the one pushes others down and the one pushes them too high. And the one causes you to be proud, the one causes you to be false humble. The only way you can be true to who you are and serve God is to say, yes, Lord, this is who I am, and I'm taking it. Make sense? Yeah. Right, let's go on. Number two, walk with grace towards others, with all humility and gentleness, with love and patience, bearing with one another. And that word bearing is the same word as tolerating or putting up. Okay, so I'll say it straight. I'll start with myself. There's certain things about me that my congregation must tolerate. That's just imperfection. You know, it's just who it is. And there's certain things about Marnus that you have to tolerate. But also the other way around. All right, there's things about you that he must tolerate. And Scripture is clear about it. It says straight up, you have to bear with it. Why is humility so important? Here's the thing. If I am a teacher and I am practicing my gift of teaching, what does it mean for you that's listening? It means I'm giving something at this moment that I have that you need, right? Which causes you to be in quite a vulnerable position, am I right? And can cause me to be quite proud. And so Paul takes a lot of time, every time with all the gifts, talks about humility first. Because he wants us to be the same in value. And he wants us to respect one another, because there'll be a time when you are going to be the receiver of the gift of mercy. Or the gift of someone being generous. If someone is giving, it means someone does not have. Alright? And so Paul says, let's be humble and gentle when we minister, never elevating and minister from a place from above. Does that make sense? Here's the other thing when it comes to this bearing with one another is God Almighty and the Holy Spirit is working through you. The other stuff that comes through you is you. And that's the not so nice stuff that we're bearing with. But sometimes to get the gifts of God, we need to take the stuff of people as well. It's just how it works. The only place where you won't see it is when you don't have a relationship with your pastor. He comes and preaches and quickly get on a jet. Then you maybe can think he's perfect, but I tell you now, he's not. I had ook voete van klei. All right, he's broken in his own way. These guys knew it 2,000 years ago, wrote it in a book for us to understand. Take the gift, bear with the giver. He's also growing. Make sense? Right, then there's this unity part. It says, maintain the unity. There's one body, there's one spirit, there's one Lord, there's one faith, there's one everything, it seems. And then, it's not on the screen there, but just suddenly in verse 7, it goes from one to but each. Right, and so what he's doing is he's starting with unity and he's moving to diversity. Right, point number three is diversity, my gift, your gift, the fact that there's gifts and it differ, it only makes sense in the light of unity, the light of oneness. Alright? We are here for the same calling. We are here worshipping the same God. Doing everything we do, it comes together to bring glory to the one God yet we all differ. And Paul makes very sure he puts the one under the other one. So that my gift never becomes an obstacle or obstruction for the unity of a church. The moment it gets to that point, I'm out of line. And hopefully there's elders and a pastor to help me get back into line. Whenever my gift becomes something that hurts the us, I'm not stewarding my gift well. And you're not stewarding your gift well. So, normally when people would fight around these things, you should be able to read verse 3 to verse 6 and probably you'll find the answer there. But why is this thing breaking our unity? Why are we fighting about this? This was right now at this moment, my gift has become elevated to a place where I think it not to serve you, but to rule over you. All right, very important. Make sense? All right. Number 4, Christ conquered Satan and distributed gifts. This is a very, very interesting verse. It says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men. Now, Paul is actually quoting a scripture out of Psalms here. But the scripture in Psalms is a bit different. It says, in Psalms it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and men gave him gifts. All right? That's the original verse that he's quoting. And he's changing around. There's a few reasons for that. Obviously, different commentators debate and discuss this poetically. But it makes a lot of sense. Because if you think about it, you first come to God and you give him the best you can give him. What's that? It's your life. You give him the gift of your life. He responds by giving you gifts so that you can live for him. All right? The cool thing about this is Christ went and he stole something from Satan. He let captivity captives. There was a battle. Something was taken. And then he gives these gifts, the apostles, the prophets. And if you think about those things, all those gifts manifest on the dark side as well. You get tremendous leaders out there drawing people away from God. What Christ is saying to us, reassuring, don't fret, don't be scared when you see tremendous leaders rising up with these gifts, apostolic gifts, planting in opposition to God's kingdom. Prophetic speaking, don't fret. I've led it captive. And I gave the anointed gifts to the church, she will win. And when we see terrible leaders out there, we go in a flat spin. What this scripture is saying, breathe and pray. He took it captive already. He knows where this is going. Does that make sense? The grace given to the leaders in the church will triumph over the leaders in opposition. Always. And every time. Make sense? Great. Number 5, Christ gave the best gifts he could. If you look at these verses, it says, in saying he ascended, what does it mean? But that he also descended into the lower regions. Okay. He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he may fill all things. What are they trying to say here? There's not one place that Christ has not been. There's not one thing that he has not seen. There's not one thing he's not experienced. He has been everywhere. Talk about life experience, all right? And in being everywhere, in seeing everything, in knowing every heart, experiencing the depth of hell, and also the glory of heaven. He comes, and the very next verse he says, and this is what I'm going to give you, these 5 things. This, after all I've seen, after all I've been through, after everything I've encountered, this is what you need. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Go and be good stewards. He gave the best he could. And this is it. And then the last point, number 6. The gifts was given purposefully, all right? Just in that scripture, it states to build the church, to build the members, to bring unity, to protect from deception, and look at that awesome spelling, to reveal Jesus more clearly. How's that? I'll fix it on my computer, then I feel better about it. Everything he has done with a purpose. The gifts were chosen. You were made, and then this gift is placed in you. Everything, this all works together for God's glory. Isn't that amazing? So some of you must stop fighting that you are the way you are. You should be that way. Mature. Ask God to mature you. Amen? Right, now we're going to look at those five gifts, and I'm quickly going to describe them. I'm not going to take long. I think a lot of you will know these things. And then at the end, all we're going to do is we're just going to stand up and say, God, use us in this town and in this church and my company. There's just a definition that comes from the Shofar Bible School notes, bit of promotion. The fivefold ministry consists of actual people given by Christ to the church as a whole, who are equipped to fulfill specific functions in church government. Their purpose is to assist people in growing into mature disciples of Christ and to equip them to become effective disciple makers. Okay? So here's the thing. If Manus is the only disciple maker, then he's going to be dead in 2 years. All right? Because he's going to be doing all the work and he's not going to be able to sleep. If we can have many disciple makers, if we can have many people say, hey, I've got a calling on my life to lead people. I've got a calling on my life to help people. I want to take someone by the hand. Now we're starting to talk. We need a church full of leaders, right? And that's where we want to build to. Right. Number one, the apostle. Okay? It's the one who is sent by the master on a mission. All right. Who's a New Testament example of an apostle? Paul writes to this church, visits that church, sets leaders there, moves on, goes back. I'm missing you guys. I want to come and oversee. I want to see if you're okay. That's typically the apostle, the planter. All right. There's just a few points on that if you want to write it down. It's they're extending the work of the church. All right. Constantly pushing the boundaries wider. They also open new fields for ministry. And they also oversee larger sections of the church. Okay. Now, no one today has the apostolic mandate of writing new scripture like the apostles had. But you do see this gift working. You see men going into places, planting churches, planting more churches, overseeing. And so we call it the apostolic gift. This thing is alive. The church is growing, right? Okay? Not in the sense as the early apostles who all had to see Christ, okay, or witness his resurrection. No, not apostles in that sense, but the apostolic gift is alive. And we see it definitely. That's why we are here today in Durban, with a Shofar church, and there's 50 other churches as well, because there's the apostolic gift working in us. All right, make sense? All right, number two is the prophet. He's the one who speaks, all right, speaks for God. If we look at a few traits of the prophets, there is a lot of people like to speak, that's true, but these guys, the message in their mouth is also the message on their lives. So often recognize these people with a very, very radical commitment to God around things that they know is important. All right, like very radical around obedience. Very radical to make sure that their word is honored. All right, because it's so important. They are motivated and made to think about what they say. All right. Build up, correct, comfort, and also a lot of realignment, especially of hearts. So, typically in a church, maybe there'll be a lot of stuff going on. We'll be planning amazing things, and then the prophet will just call a meeting and say, guys, I've picked up that we've been running and running and running, but where is our hearts? That's the language of the prophet. Are we in line with God in heart as well? All right, because they sense, it's almost like they've got a, Jy weet daai gevoel van as jou pa vir jou kwaad is, as jy klein kind is, okay? Now, it's like they're in tune with that. They're in tune with, we want to please God. Not only in the stuff we do, but in a heart's level, alright? Make sense, prophet? Some of those in the house? Yeah, there is. And then we get the evangelist, okay? This is something out of Bible school. Essentially, the gift of the evangelist operates to establish converts and to gather them spiritually and literally into the body of Christ. Alright? So it refers primarily to this willingness and the giftedness of witnessing. Understanding the heart of those who does not know God. Thinking about it, engaging with it, praying for it, understanding ways to deliver the gospel into a situation that people will understand it. Alright? Very motivated. They will preach Passover every Sunday. Alright? As long as there's one new person in church, then they're happy. Alright? Make sense? Okay. Just want to say that the heart... That's why that setting the stage part is so important, because you get a lot of people that claims that they're evangelists, but they're no church. They just walk around on the street, pray for people, the one to take video clips of it. But where's the one body? Where's the one in spirit? Where's the, so that we all may be mature? Alright? And so don't be fooled by someone just doing something. Don't be fooled by a good prophecy. Alright? If you ever wonder about these things, take the whole of Ephesians and go and look at those things, setting the stage. Right? Are they in a mutual submission to the leaders of a church? Alright? Very important. People get fooled, especially young Christians get fooled by these things. But you shouldn't be. Amen? Then you get a pastor. Come from the word to protect from. Typically you can take a scripture, I will set up shepherds over them. It's a promise. Okay? And they're talking about this gift that Christ's about to give, or that Christ gave. Scripture says, I will set up shepherds, and then Christ says, I'm going to give you a gift, and one of these is a shepherd. Alright? Who will feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, nor shall they be lacking, says the Lord. And then comes Jesus, and he says, I am the good shepherd. Fulfills the promise firstly. He embodies it himself. Okay, and so the pastors, whereas the apostles, almost if you think about a plas, like a farm of sheep, the apostle almost wants to get on the highest tower and just see where's more space for the sheep to go. Is there some sheep over there? Should we have multiple farms? The shepherd typically is focused right there on the farm. What does the sheep need? Are they fed well? Are they healthy? Do they need water? Do they need, I don't know. Do they give weird injections to sheep these days? They do, right? Against sickness and stuff like, all those kind of things. They are focused on the flock, knowing someone else will be watching over that flock. So for them not to break themselves and get all over the place, they focus here. And they do it very well. Sometimes... these people are very good. They transition quite easily into being home group leaders because they really love people. And they make it easy for the pastor because it's difficult for the pastor to get to everyone. But knowing that there is those with the heart of a shepherd, at least these 10 people are cared for by that person. Does that make sense? Anyone with that kind of gift here? There's one. Yeah. Right, and then the last one is the teacher. So one who establishes and challenges believers in the foundational truths of the gospel. Now, it's not just the ability to stand before people and talk, all right? It's a supernatural anointing of a solvent that's on these people's lives to look into scripture and understanding how to marry it with our lives today. They know how to bring scripture to life in lives. And they are very concerned that we not only do the right thing, but do it the right way. You know, for example, if a specific scripture says that Jesus is Lord, right? That's what it says. Even if you take an explanation, you take the wrong way of working with the scripture, but comes to the same conclusion, they will not be happy. Because the method you're using will be destructive if you apply it to other scriptures. They're very, very tense around things like this. Very sensitive. And they're very important to us to make sure that we stay healthy. And teach us. Amen? Is that you, Jerusha? Yes. Okay. Thank you that you are here.
Thank you,
teacher. Ah, okay. Oh, really? Like some of these other guys, like the apostles and evangelists, they will start building. They'll huing baksti and a cement, baksti and a cement. Then these guys will come. Break off. And then sometimes you must go again, because this, you're on the second story, but I mean, there's no foundation here. And then everyone's mad, and they get into a little room, boxing gloves come out, and then they fix the problem. Okay, so we're grateful for these guys. So here's a few things about a teacher, if you want to write this down. Is he accurately interprets scripture, delights in testing the knowledge of those he teaches. Ask a lot of questions. How are you thinking? Where do you get to that place? Okay, these guys are also learners. I want to say this. This is not people that just chat. These guys are those who don't mind to sit and study. All right? And they want to understand. If you do something right, something amazing, or something works, they want to understand why, how. So they can determine the method and duplicate. All right? The delights in research, emphasize context and the Bible as the final authority, is dependent upon the Word and the Spirit. And there's our last slide for today. Jesus embodies all five of those. He is the gift. And then he gives himself to us, even as he ascended into heaven. He's heaven-sent apostle. I mean, you can just maybe take a photo of that or write it down. But all those scriptures refers actually to these gifts. Him being everywhere, descending low, going high, tasting everything. This is the leadership of Christ. These five things combined. And so when we come together and we take what he's given, who are we? The body of Christ. This remains on earth through us. And that's our heart. Amen, guys? And so what I want to do for us this morning is just, I specifically want to pray, and I'm going to do this at our church tonight. I want to pray for these things, Christ in us, to be a reality here, more and more and more, into more maturity as we grow. Can we do that this morning? Let's stand up. I'm just going to pray for us. And then I'll give over to Marnus. Don't you just want to have your hands like this? Just to say, Lord, whatever you have, I will receive it. Just in a receiving posture. And then I'll pray for us. Before I pray, can we maybe have that slide up just with all the gifts? Please, maybe if you just maybe want to take, not this one, the other one earlier, I think slide number 4 or something, just listing apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher. And then I want you maybe to look at that list and maybe ask God, Lord, where does your heart beat for me? Maybe you're not sure, that's okay. What excites you here? And here's the thing, you don't have to ask God for it. It's given. What you need to do is you need to thank Him for it. All right? And receive it. Let's close our eyes. Father, when you send your Son, you didn't send a superstar that came and quickly did something, gained fame and left us. No, you send a leader. You send a father. You send a shepherd. You send someone who did everything in such a way that his work may continue when he goes, that it may become more glorious. He was willing to wash feet. He was willing to be nothing. Father, and every person in this room is gifted by you. Each one has received from you something. And firstly, Lord, I pray for them to make a peace with that. Say, yes, Lord. I make a peace with who I am and what you have given me, and I thank you for that. I want to give you 20 seconds. Don't you just, in your own words, you can do it very softly. I want to lead you guys through this. Thank God for who you are. And make a peace with it. And then I want you actually to say sorry if at any time you were not happy with who he made you to be. Because let me tell you what, you are perfectly made. I'm just going to give you 20 seconds for that. Thank you, Lord, for the apostles in this place, Lord. Thank you for the prophets, Lord. Thank you for the evangelists, Lord, for the teachers and for the pastors. You've gifted us well, our King. And Jesus, on this day that you rose, you knew exactly that your church will rise, Lord, and that we will do so well, Lord. And Lord, yes, we are one. Yes, we are one body, and we serve one God. But thank you also for every individual. You've gifted them well. And I want to thank you for that, Jesus. You can open your eyes, guys. I'm going to finish off in a second. I just feel something on my heart, and I just wanted to share with you. I feel there's a few people here that you don't know how this fit in with like your past, because maybe you've messed up. You've been around the block more than once. Your past is your past. Bring it before God and leave it there. But what you're going to do now, that's your question. Where to from here? And here's my advice, and I believe this comes from God. Start by accepting who you are. All right? Face up to your past. Ask God to forgive you. And going forward, tell God that you will embrace who he made you to be, which also means embracing the people around you so that you guys together can be one. Amen. So Father, thank you not just for this moment, Lord. I just believe you say there's no wasted lives here. There's no wasted moments. And Lord, I just remember many accounts in the Bible. Jesus finding the woman, the prostitute, and she's before him and she's silent. She doesn't know what's going to happen now. And then you say, now go and sin no more. Go forward. And Lord, thank you for everyone here, Lord, and specifically if this is a word for one or two, your life is not over. This is a beginning. Trust God and move forward. Thank you, Jesus.
I'm just reminded, I was at the pastor's conference last year, end of the year, and we actually had like a little meeting together, all the pastors from the North region. I just moved over to the North region, and it was about the gifts, especially this gifts of the Son. And everybody mentioned their gifts, and I had a gift that was quite odd one out. And you know, sometimes we feel like, because our gifts are different, you know, you feel like you're different, or something is wrong. But I just wanted to felt as well, like Werner is saying, sometimes God will put you amongst a lot of people that are like you, and there will also be seasons where you're amongst people where you're the only one called in a specific way, and that's good. That's part of your training. So there will be a time where God will separate you, where you're supposed to be that gift, where you're supposed to bring that to the context you're in. So I just want to encourage you. Maybe you feel at this moment you are the only one that way, that are wired the way you are. And that's also fine, because God is teaching you to operate in your gift. And just be authentic to who you are. And God, like Vanner is saying, but God anoints you as a person. He anoints you where you are. You cannot be me, or you cannot be Vanner, or you cannot be Stephen, you know. You cannot be cool like Stephen, all of us. So just be yourself and trust God to be there. And the world needs you, you know. If you look at Jesus, the world needed him. They didn't all accept him. But sometimes the world is not going to accept you first time around, but they still need you. Some people are going to come back and say, I needed you. Like when I came into ministry, or before I came into ministry in Rondebosch, I was around the table with a group of leaders where I also was the only one gifted in a certain way. And if I look back now, it was a good time in my life, because those other people stirred me. They kind of shaped me, iron sharpening iron. They gave me more compassion, etc. Because the one guy was very compassionate, very, very merciful, pastor's heart, you know. And he helped me a lot to grow in that area. So sometimes God will put people amongst us so that we can also just learn something from the other gifts. Okay, so we're going to finish here today. The band will probably minister another song. So we're going to close here. There's some snacks outside. Thank you, Werner. It's a pleasure to have you, to learn from you. And if you want to have any prayer, maybe that infirmity thing was for you earlier on, or you want us to pray with a gift, maybe you're not sure about it and you want prayer about it, just come and chat with Werner or me. Just say, maybe you're unsure, this is something God has used you in, you're confused about what God wants to do, then come forward. Come and ask for some prayer. And otherwise, you can also just sit under ministry. And have a good week, guys. Invite some people to church next week. We'll be back in